Stand by for action.
Gamer's Haven Special Edition.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. A huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
Any questions and I'll answer them?
Yep.
Okay. This is Ethan with the Gamer's Haven Podcast, and I am here with...
Michael Mendes from Tasty Minstrel Games.
Tasty Minstrel Games. I love the name. Is this your guys' first year here at Gen Con?
Yes, absolutely. It's our first year at Gen Con.
Not overwhelmed, I hope.
No, not at all.
Excellent. Looks like you guys have been doing quite well.
I'd rather be more overwhelmed than I am. That's what I should say.
It's a good thing, yes. Looking around, you guys have a number of products out here. What can you tell our fine listeners about what you guys have, not only here at the show, but what you guys have available?
Well, we have a lot of things. We have, let me look at the actual products so I remember them all. We've got Martian Dice, which is a game that comes with 13 dice, and it comes in the tube. The similarities with Zombie Dice end there. We've gotten that. Hey, this is Zombie Dice. No, it's not. We have Train of Thought, which is a word association party game.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't like most party games, and when I started the company, I said we're absolutely not publishing any party games. And then I played the game and I loved it, so
sure.
I decided to actually do it. We have Jab, which is a real-time boxing simulation. You're not waiting for anybody else to take their turns, and a lot of effort has gone into getting the boxing experience very accurate.
Sure.
And I think it's done very well, and we like to say it's the closest thing to actually boxing without getting punched in the face.
And gamers don't like getting punched in the face.
Most don't, I would think. Yes. We have Belfort, which is it's a worker placement, a game where you place workers. You know, this is going to sound like every other generic hero, but
sure.
Okay, it's not a generic hero. The art's really cool. You place workers, you get resources, you build buildings, it's area majority scoring. It had been a year and a half since I had played the game and made the decision to publish it, and I had a really good team working on it. The designer, the two designers, and Seth Jaffe does our development work, and the artist also. So I stepped back from the project and just, you know, said, okay,
let it go.
When it comes to the rule book, I need to see it, and that, because I'm very particular about how our rules read.
Sure.
And so I sat down and I played it here at Gen Con, and it's just someone was leaving a game that was a demo.
Sure.
And I sat down, I fell in love with it, and I said, we're probably just a game, this is great. The very interesting things for me in particular were, so most worker placement games, you want to go first, because that's the spot I want.
Sure.
And most area majority scoring games, you want to go last, because that way you know where to build things, you know where you should be to optimize your scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And so the game has both, so I want to go first, I want to go last at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really cool. There's 10 buildings in each district. There's 5 districts in which you score. 10 buildings are all unique, and they get a specific... They all have very interesting and neat abilities. There's just a lot of things going on there. The artwork is amazing. Josh Capel did a really good job on it. And so I'm very pleased with Belfort. Otherwise, I'll just keep going on.
Sure.
So,
it sounds like you really like it.
Yeah. I will move on to Eminent Domain. A lot of people are probably familiar with everything that's happened, or at least we put it up on Kickstarter. I said, this game's really good. Based on financial expectations, it'll be at least a year before Sword comes out.
Right.
And, you know, we had print and play, and we emailed our fans and said, you know, we think this will be good for you. And so we actually ended up getting $48,356 in support, if I remember correctly.
Nice.
Which was 1,356 copies sold through, essentially pre-sold through Kickstarter.
Sold. Yes, excellent.
We ended up selling out the first print run before it even was done being printed, so I started another one. They're all about to show up. And I'll actually tell you about the game. It has a deck-building mechanism with it, but it's not deck-building for the sake of building a deck. It's a game on top of what the deck-building adds to it.
Sure.
And the most interesting thing for me, there's two very interesting things. It's a thematically, it's a space empire game. We are surveying and getting planets, colonizing them, or going. These are occupied planets, so we're playing nice and colonizing, or we're going to come in with our fighters and take over that way. You can make resources and trade and do research. Very interesting aspects for me are that you will choose a role that you want to do, and then that card goes into your deck.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you choose a role, for example, warfare, you'll get a lot better at doing warfare in the future. So that's really good at the beginning, because now whenever you choose the role, you can boost the effect from cards that are in your hand. And so I'm getting a large advantage at the beginning of the game. But then towards the end of the game, now all I have is warfare in my deck. And it's like, do I really need more fighters? No, not really. But
right.
I'd rather do this and get five fighters than something else and not get much of an effect at all.
Sure.
Right? On top of that, the research deck provides a lot of interesting things. That's where most of the really meaty player interaction will occur, because mm-hmm. well, there's level one research, which is just an improved version of the roles, but there's level two research and level three research. There's only one of each card.
Right.
And so a lot of times when Seth and I are playtesting, we play a game and he gets the exact card I wanted and needed for what I was doing. It's like, why'd you do that to me? And no, now we have to play a whole nother game, which usually happens. So that's Eminent Domain. We also have Homesteaders, which is a reprint of one of our initial releases. And it's the second edition. The biggest difference between the first edition and the second edition is that it doesn't include overpriced Chinese water.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with the production problems we had.
No, not
at all. No, so I mistakenly thought that, hey, I can communicate directly with the factory in China. We had good communication. I did. I bought games that they had printed from other manufacturers. You know, I really looked into it. Didn't see any problem with their manufacturing, and they just messed up Homesteaders and Eminent Domain, Terra Prime,
okay.
Which were our first two releases, and that didn't feel all that great. And so it says second edition on it. For those who are familiar with the issues, the differences are it's cut right. There's no moisture in the no extra moisture in the box, and we have the two-player rules inside it.
Uh-huh.
Everything's actually manufactured to spec they gave us for the auction board, as opposed to a normal board that you would see out of any game that was like this tiny thin cardstock thing.
Sure.
But so that's Homesteaders. I believe that's all that we have here at the show currently. And we have Ground Floor will be coming out soon, which is a business building simulation. And we have For the Win, which is For the Win is pretty cool. It's Ground Floor is cool too. I don't mean that it's not, but
sure.
For the Win, we have it's a abstract strategy game like chess or Go, but more like Hive, except that all the pieces are squares as opposed, and there are five character types. There's a monkey, ninja, alien, pirate, and zombie, right? And so the goal is to get them all touching each other and active, and then you win the game. And so you'll place them. They have special abilities. For example, the alien tractor beams another tile over to you, over to the alien.
Right.
The pirate shoots a tile out of its cannon from next to him to anywhere on the board.
Right.
The ninja, as most ninjas do, they disappear and they show up somewhere else. So when he uses his ability, you just move him anywhere you want to.
Okay.
Zombies. What the zombie does is when you use his ability, you choose an adjacent tile, and that just gets killed and replaced with your other zombie.
Nice.
Right? Which one did I mention? No, the monkey. Yes, and the monkey, when you use his ability, it toggles all the other tiles adjacent. So anytime you use the ability, they are no longer active, so you have to get everyone adjacent and active to win. So the monkey just toggles all the up to 8 tiles that are surrounding it.
Sure.
So I'm pretty excited about that. I think it's really cool.
Cool.
That's a lot of stuff to go over.
That is a lot of stuff to go over. And how long have you guys been around? I mean,
2.5 years.
2.5 years.
March,
that's quite a library to build in 2.5 years.
Yeah, March in 2009 is when I finally decided to
bite the bullet and do it. Right.
Right.
Okay. Cool. And I would assume then, with all the research, it sounds that you do, and how aggressive you are with this, people could find this at their friendly local game stores.
Yes, they should be able to.
And if not, they can presumably go to your website.
They can go to our websites, playtmg.com, so Tasty Minstrel Games, except the initials.
So playtmg.com.
Yes, but before they do that, they should go to their retailer and say,
hey, why aren't you carrying these fine products?
Right, and then the retailer will go through distribution
until
they come to me. So.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time. We love what you guys got in the show here.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
That's not canon.